Praise 100.9. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts, your perspective, and your views on a broad range of issues impacting your neighborhood, community, your city, our nation, and indeed our world. We have another great show for you this morning. Undoubtedly, the Democratic National Convention was a huge success in Charlotte. Thousands of people from around the country converged on the Queen City, excited about the president's nomination and the bevy of activities in and around Charlotte. Although there were a host of fun events hosted and attended by folks in the media and entertainment industry, there was serious business to take care of, including exciting the base so that they can fan out throughout the country and get to the business of re-electing President Obama. This morning, a full analysis of the Democratic National Convention and the impact it will have in November. Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. What an absolutely extraordinary week it was in Charlotte. Thousands of people from all over the country flew in, they drove in, and many folks rode the railways to attend the Democratic National Convention. It was a sight to behold as media outlets from all over the major networks and news cable shows erected stage sets to broadcast their various programs. Coverage of the DNC by all of the networks and news talk radio programs, in my judgment, was exceptional. I mean, there was so much excitement in the air, so much excitement. It was something to see. I was really excited for the Queen City and the major attractions that we have. And I want you to understand, leave no doubt in your mind, the city of Charlotte showcased this beautiful city in an absolutely spectacular way. We are proud to have hosted the 2012 Democratic National Convention. But I want to be clear. President Obama and the Democratic Party had important business to attend to, and that, of course, was to fire up the base. This is going to be a vigorous campaign, and in order to have a vigorous campaign, you need troops who are fired up. So that was one of the reasons why there was so much excitement. People wanted to get fired up. They, of course, had to lay the groundwork for this vigorous fall campaign and, of course, inspiring supporters to launch a robust ground campaign reminiscent of the 2008 campaign. That was an absolute must. We need to ensure that people are excited and enthusiastic about getting out to the polls in November and ensuring victory come November 6th. President Obama also had to make his case before the American people, particularly independent and swing voters. There are a bevy of states around the country that's going to require a really, really robust ground campaign. And in order to do that, President Obama had to make his case before the American people. So without question, this is going to be a tough road to the November elections. And one thing the convention, I think, accomplished was to vigorously debunking the lies promulgated by Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan. That's what I saw accomplished throughout the entire week. It was absolutely stunning to see, because all we've seen, in my judgment, are lies promulgated by these two. And there needed to be a national audience without any media filters. People needed to hear directly from the president and his surrogates. And it was absolutely stunning to watch. President Obama's surrogates and the president himself did, I think, a brilliant job highlighting the contradictions, the hypocrisy, the blatant lies the Romney-Ryan campaign has been spouting to their supporters. And it's quite fascinating to me that despite Romney and Ryan's claims about President Obama in the area of Medicare, the work requirements and welfare reform, and even the economy, they have doubled down on their lies. And what is equally perplexing to me is how Romney and Ryan supporters are undaunted. They are completely unfazed by the news that their blatant dishonesty and their lies were just that, blatant dishonesty and lies. These folks hate President Obama so much that they are willing to be lied to. They are willing to be manipulated simply because they hate President Obama. And I am certainly glad that Bill Clinton laid it out. I'm certainly glad that he put it in those terms, that there are people in the Republican Party, particularly those who are on the fringe elements. These folks hate President Obama. And it's incredible. It really is. And I think what we've seen throughout the week was a literal bringing down of that dishonesty campaign. That whole apparatus was certainly dismantled. And I was particularly proud. And one other thing that I was proud of, and that was Tuesday night. Mrs. Obama, in my judgment, presented a moving and heartwarming portrait of her husband and her family. With all the negative and bigoted things hurled at President Obama on a daily basis, Mrs. Obama, before a national audience, had the opportunity to shatter all of the ridiculous claims about her husband, especially in the areas of his character, his love of country, his motivations about his policy prescriptions. She shattered all of that stuff. And especially and particularly those fallacious claims by Republicans that he has launched some kind of class warfare in this country. She shattered all of that by providing the kind of emotional stability that people needed to understand this man has. Mrs. Obama reminded the convention goers and, of course, the country that as a man, as a husband, as a father, and certainly as president, he understands the struggles and identify with the pain and struggle the American people are contending with on a daily basis. Take a listen to this audio.
When it comes to giving our kids the education they deserve, Barack knows that, like me and like so many of you, he never could have attended college without financial aid. And believe it or not, when we were first married, our combined monthly student loan bill was actually higher than our mortgage. Yeah, we were so young, so in love, and so in debt. And that's why Barack has fought so hard to increase student aid and keep interest rates down, because he wants every young person to fulfill their promise and be able to attend college without a mountain of debt. So in the end, for Barack, these issues aren't political. They're personal. Because Barack knows what it means when a family struggles. He knows what it means to want something more for your kids and grandkids. Barack knows the American dream because he's lived it. And he wants everyone in this country, everyone, to have the same opportunity, no matter who we are or where we're from or what we look like or who we love. And he believes that when you've worked hard and done well and walked through that doorway of opportunity, you do not slam it shut behind you. No, you reach back and you give other folks the same chances that help you succeed.
Absolutely incredible. One of the lines that really sticks out to me, one of the lines that really resonated, we were so young, so in love, and so in debt. There are millions of couples, both young and old, that can relate to those sentiments. We live through these kinds of struggles. Millions of Americans do. That is why I think Mrs. Obama's speech resonated with the American people. And of course, the next day, headlines all across the country that she knocked the ball out of the park. It was absolutely amazing. It's not simply her stunning presence or her great fashion sense. It's her ability to relate to people on a deep and personal level. She, in my judgment, she and her husband share a kind of kinship with millions of Americans in areas that we are all familiar with. Debt, trying to make ends meet, but really holding fast to hopes and dreams of brighter days. And that's what she reflected. That's what she articulated. It was absolutely stunning to see. It was amazing. Another highlight of the convention, of course, and there were many, but I was particularly excited about Bill Clinton. I think the entire country was, even folks on the right, because Bill Clinton brings a certain heft to the political world. And it was just fascinating to watch. Without question, Bill Clinton eviscerated the Romney-Ryan campaign. It was funny. In typical Clinton fashion, the former president presented a clear and cogent argument why President Obama should be reelected. And I think he shredded Romney's specious question to President Obama and the American people. You remember he asked this question, are we better off as a country since President Obama took office? Of course we are. Of course we are. As he indicated, President Obama inherited a mess. We were losing 750,000 jobs per month. The stock market was down 6,000 points. GDP was approaching Great Depression levels by all estimates. Unemployment was rising without any immediate measures to arrest its ascension. Government jobs were being cut at historic levels because state and local governments couldn't even meet their budgets. And talk about the private sector. They were laying off folks, huge numbers. So President Obama was dealing with an unimaginable set of factors that would give any president pause. And as Bill Clinton noted, neither he or his predecessors would have been able to turn the economy around in just 4 years. Let's be clear about that. We're talking about a GDP approaching Great Depression levels. It was serious, folks. It was that serious. But what I most appreciated about former President Clinton's speech was his biting response to the Romney-Ryan lie, their cynical politics. In fact, he completely demolished Ryan's Medicare claims. Take a listen to this.
Now, when Congressman Ryan looked into that TV camera and attacked President Obama's Medicare savings as, quote, the biggest, coldest power play, I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. Because that $716 billion is exactly to the dollar the same amount of Medicare savings that he has in his own budget. You got to get one thing. It takes some brass to attack a guy for doing what you did.
That kind of evisceration of the Ryan Romney ticket went on for the duration of Clinton's speech. It was biting. It was blunt. It was what people needed to hear. And of course, it was absolutely humorous at times. It was amazing. It was an amazing speech. And folks were, you know, particularly the pundits were talking and bemoaning the fact that he went beyond his allocated time, but in Clinton fashion, he shaped that speech to have resonance with the American people. And that's what I mostly appreciated. But I think more importantly, he presented a robust and muscular defense of President Obama's policy prescription and, of course, direction for our country. How about Sandra Fluke? She did her thing, and I was certainly proud of that woman. If you remember, Sandra Fluke was viciously attacked by Rush Limbaugh for an entire week during his radio show. And the weak response by Republicans, particularly Mitt Romney, helped to propel this woman to national recognition. Take a listen to what she said.
They are not imagined. That future could become real. In that America, your new president could be a man who stands by when a public figure tries to silence a private citizen with hateful slurs. A man who won't stand up to those slurs or to any of the extreme bigoted voices in his own party. An America in which our president, when he hears that a young woman has been verbally attacked, thinks of his daughters, not his delegates or his donors.
Wow. Listen, the mark of real leadership is the ability to stand firm against bigots and hateful people. Mitt Romney failed that leadership test. He couldn't stand up against the likes of Rush Limbaugh. How is he going to stand up against dictators or countries whose interests may be contrary or even detrimental to our own? We're about to embark upon some really tough times in this country, and we need real leadership. And Mitt Romney has shown time and again that he vacillates on issues, that he flip flops on all of his rhetoric and all of his campaign promises. He flip flops on just about everything. He's for one thing one day and one thing the other day, and then he flip flops on those things. I mean, it is incredible what we've seen from Mitt Romney. That is not the mark of real leadership. We're about to close the show, but I do want to end by expressing how profoundly proud I am of the president's leadership. He, Joe Biden, whom I deeply am proud of, and of course his administration, has confronted major challenges to our economy and our country. President Obama and Joe Biden has provided steady leadership in the face of insurmountable challenges. Steady leadership. Unwavering loyalty to our country and, of course, the American people. They've given us hope despite the daunting challenges ahead. And although this week's jobs figures fell below market expectations and we're not as muscular as we would hope, we've seen steady growth without question. So the specious argument asked by Mitt Romney in his campaign whether or not we're better off since President Obama took office, it is just that, a specious question and a specious argument. We were losing 750,000 jobs per month for the first 6 months of President Obama's presidency. When President Obama, when his policies kicked in, we've seen 29 straight months of private sector jobs added to our economy. Unemployment fell from hovering over 11% to now 8.1%. No, it's not where we, of course, want to be. But there's a decline in unemployment and rise in the number of private sector jobs. And certainly it's going to take quite a while for us to get to where we need to be. But we need to hold fast to the hope and the promise that we're going to get there. And we need to back the president in all of his efforts. If we can rid ourselves of an obstructionist Congress, I firmly believe that we will be on a surer, sturdier economic footing. Our troops have returned home from Iraq. We've begun a significant number of troops returning from Afghanistan as the war comes to a close, and our relationship with the rest of the world is on surer footing. Are we better off since President Obama took office on that cold day in January 2009? Of course we are. We have ways to go, but we, I believe, are going to get there. The president's speech was timely. It was relevant. It was robust. It was muscular. It had some soaring language, and it had the realism that we needed, and it had the inspiration that is certainly required in these tough times. And I'm absolutely confident that the president has provided the assurance that we need, that better days are indeed ahead, that the American spirit lives on, and we're going to be all right. I want you to take a listen to the president's final remarks during the convention.
So you see, The election 4 years ago wasn't about me. It was about you. My fellow citizens, you were the change. You're the reason there's a little girl with a heart disorder in Phoenix who'll get the surgery she needs because an insurance company can't limit her coverage. You did that. You're the reason a young man in Colorado who never thought he'd be able to afford his dream of earning a medical degree is about to get that chance. You made that possible. You're the reason a young immigrant who grew up here and went to school here and pledged allegiance to our flag will no longer be deported from the only country she's ever called home. Why selfless soldiers won't be kicked out of the military because of who they are or who they love. Why thousands of families have finally been able to say to the loved ones who served us so bravely, welcome home. Welcome home. You did that. You did that. You did that. If you turn away now, if you turn away now, if you buy into the cynicism that the change we fought for is impossible, well, change will not happen. If you give up on the idea that your voice can make a difference, then other voices will fill the void. The lobbyists and special interests, the people with the $10 million checks who are trying to buy this election, and those who are trying to make it harder for you to vote. Washington politicians who want to decide who you can marry or control health care choices that women should be making for themselves. Only you can make sure that doesn't happen. Only you have the power to move us forward.
Absolutely amazing. We're going to take a quick break. When I return, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9. We'll be back in a moment. Praise 100.9. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. The Democratic National Convention, of course, was a huge success, but there's a lot of work to be done. If you were inspired by the president, Mrs. Obama, Bill Clinton, and all of the president's surrogates, it's time to roll up your sleeves and get to work. It will have been a huge waste of time if folks are not organizing voter registration drives or planning carpools to the polls. It's time for our churches, civic organizations, fraternities, sororities, businesses, social clubs, entertainers, sports figures, everybody. It's time for all of us to dig deep and do our part to ensure a strong turnout to the polls in November. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. Also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary. www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.